Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I am your host, Jordan McNamara, and we are doing 10 Analytics Dynasty trade database trades here on a Thursday. So quick rundown here. So these are all super flex trades. So that's the background. Some interesting ones this week. And I've skipped over the primarily rookie pick for rookie pick stuff. So it's not 10 exactly straight down. I sifted or filtered out some of the pick for pick stuff just because we've kind of run down that road. And I think most of us are out of the rookie draft realm at this point. But 310 for Nelson Aguilar. It's fair-ish. You know, I don't, if it was a future third, maybe that'd be a little bit more interesting. I don't know. With Aguilar, like, you could see a scenario where he's the leading receiver at the receiver position in New England. So I don't know. It feels neutral, and you're in a dead zone pick. Like, you might get a guy that's a contributor. I don't know. It doesn't really do much either for me. I'd be looking to package both of those pieces up more than trade them for each other. Kenyon Drake for Zach Moss. I think this one's interesting from a, you know, what are you trying to accomplish perspective. And if it's, hey, I'm trying to get like a low end starter, right? Like, I guess Moss could be the guy. Or if you were trying to say like, hey, listen, I want kind of a committee guy who's got, you know, in a short sample size, he's got some plus upside receiving and rushing. You know, I could quibble a little bit with the receiving upside of Kenyon Drake, but I think that's an interesting one. Yeah, I'd take the Drake side there just because I think he's got more variance. And I think he's just a better player. So that's, I would take the Drake side on that one. But I guess I see both angles of it, especially if you think Moss can be sort of on a developmental track. I don't, but I see that angle of it. 2021st and a 2022nd for Tom Brady and Mark Ingram and David Johnson. What I will say about this one is I'm not sure why this is necessary at this particular point. If I'm giving up a future first, I think you can get Brady for less than that. I think you can get, you know, David Johnson for less than that too. And so if both of those guys are trading in second round rookie pick valuations, I don't see why you give up a first. I don't see why you do it at this point either. And this is one of those classic trades. And I learned this lesson early on in my dynasty career, which is don't make yourself illiquid when it doesn't really suit a specific purpose. And what I mean by that is right now, giving up a future first and a future second in a deal that is centered around some of that value being David Johnson. Like, I don't know how David Johnson's ever going to be worth a first by himself. And I don't really think Brady at this point is either. And so the problem with this deal is if this goes bad on you, and, you know, maybe Brady probably raises the floor pretty good for this team, I would imagine. If you're making this trade and you're kind of seeing that as a quarterback two situation, that's pretty good for this year. But the thing I see with it about, you know, so it probably doesn't necessarily totally flame out, but the thing I see about this with David Johnson is if it goes bad early on in the season, you don't really have an exit point for him, right? He's going to be a falling value guy. Whereas you could see a couple of weeks of what this offense looks like, have an idea, you know, cobble it together, you know, start Jamal Williams, something like that, like that type of guy in the running back spot, and maybe not necessarily be too far behind. And in a best case, you know, David Johnson's producing low end running back one type numbers through a couple weeks. The offense looks salvageable. You know, Watson comes back, and you could trade a second for him then. Right, that's the thing that I see about this trade is you're making yourself, you're backing yourself, painting yourself into a corner where you don't necessarily need to be. It's tough to unwind this deal. So if your team doesn't do well, you were hoping for a contribution from David Johnson to really raise your team's floor, and he's not productive, right? All of a sudden you're in a situation you can't necessarily unwind. So I don't like that deal from this aspect. If you were going to say, hey, listen, you know, I'm really in a bad way at quarterback, like, you could do other things. Like, you could probably give a first for maybe a guy like Matt Ryan, or you could probably even do a trade for him for less than that. Yeah, I think there's other pivots to do this trade. There's other ways to sort of capture that running back value, and there's other ways to address quarterback. I think we're not giving up a first and making yourself totally illiquid. So that would sort of be my angle to the to this particular trade. I would take the pick side for sure. If you're cashing out, you know, if you're moving Brady and David Johnson and getting a first and a second, I think you get it like that pretty good. A 2022 fourth for a 5'11 and a future fifth. So I think that one's interesting. And I've seen this construction a little bit more recently. It's not something that's really ever been in my trade repertoire, which is to trade basically this year's pick and a future pick of the same round for something earlier. And someone tried this with me. It opened my eyes to the idea of they basically said, hey, I'll give you a second, you know, later second this year. I'll give you a second next year, and you give me your first next year. And that's typically not something that I've really ever sought at, but in a dead zone area, you're really embracing some upside. So I like that type of construct more. That wouldn't be something I would necessarily have, you know, thought of or really sought out. But the more I watch and the more I sort of, you know, think about that type of trade, I do think it presents some upside. You know, this a little bit further down, you're kind of kicking the can on the picks, you know, getting an upgrade. I sort of like that, especially if you're in, you know, real tight roster spot. You know, that fifth might be cuttable. Heck, the fourth, you know, might be in season someone you can potentially get some help from, or, you know, it gives you flexibility in next year's rookie draft, something like that. I like this aspect of sort of moving up around next year and kicking the can on a late fifth this year. Next one is Cam Newton for Jimmy Garoppolo. Basically, your junk for my junk. I think, you know, I'd be interested to see like a line on career starts for the rest of their career. I think Jimmy G might have more upside in terms of long-term starts. Yeah, heck, he might start this year too, and we'll see sort of how that goes. Both of them have, you know, first round competition from this draft class, and are on short windows. But yeah, I look and I see, you know, if Cam's not going to be what he was, you know, and then in Carolina, and he's going to be more the guy we saw later this past year, and we do have that COVID angle. I guess I sort of see the potential for him being, you know, more the beginning of the year Cam than the end of the year Cam. But then, you know, what's the next stop look like and all that stuff? It's just, that's a little quizzical to me. I think there's maybe a more of a, you know, a secondary market, if you will, for Jimmy Garoppolo than there might be for Cam on like a third market type of deal for him. So that would sort of be the angle. I'd probably take Garoppolo. I actually think Garoppolo's probably been better than we give him credit for. So I'll take Garoppolo on this one. 311 for Jacoby Myers. Give me the pick. Yeah, similar thing to Aguilar as well. Just give me the pick. Amon-Ra St. Brown for Adam Troutman. Troutman's been one that I've seen some positive buzz from. I haven't seen a huge uptick in any of his costs or anything like that, but I've seen some positive buzz. I think he could be a potential guy this offseason that, you know, you sort of get that narrative building on. He's going to be coming into a starter job. Once we get practices, we're going to get practice reports. You know, hey, he's a developmental guy, and all of a sudden he's going to be, you know, high-end, tight-end two type valuation. I don't think Amon-Ra St. Brown's ever going to really make too much of a difference for you. And so with Troutman, you know, you're basically playing base rates, and you're getting, you know, 2-3x on what Amon-Ra St. Brown would give you in terms of odds. So yeah, give me Troutman in this one. I think that's a pretty savvy deal. Fant for Julio. This is a no premium. I like the Fant side on this. I'm not a huge trader of tight ends in non-premium leagues. I think it's largely replaceable. I do think there's a jump opportunity for Fant. And, you know, sort of look at some of the other guys there. You know, you got Sutton coming off an injury. I have questions about Judy, maybe more so from fantasy than necessarily NFL perspective. But I wonder how big his ultimate upside could be in terms of like a target share type scenario. I think a lot of those questions could leave some good opening for, you know, for Fant to develop into. So I like the Fant side of this one. I do like Julio, but I think you're trading a core guy in Fant for probably a guy that's more on the contributor angle at this point. with Julio. So you're definitely trading a core asset type. Just, I think he's a more premium, more durable, more flexible asset in Fant than Julio. So, and I think you can probably replicate Julio in some degree, shape, or form with guys at his cost or even cheaper. You know, you might get Brandon Cooks, for example, might have similar, if not better, opportunity in 2021, and you're, you know, several rounds later. So I think you could plug that hole easier than you can maybe at tight end, because if there is, you know, if there's a top three at tight end, it's probably another tier, maybe like four or five guys, something like that. And I think Fant's in that, and then you sort of get into an area that's super, super flat. So again, I don't necessarily think huge, huge upside, but I do think he could see an uptick, and he's more durable as an asset. So give me the Fant side on that one. Cornell Powell, N'Keal Harry for Tylan Wallace in a future third. I see this, and I instantly thought of this. It's like, hey, it's two day three picks for each other. Fine. And then you're getting a third for N'Keal Harry. Like, I basically saw that as how that trade was. And listen, if you're in one of these deals where you're like, hey, I got to try and unwind an asset, can we really say that, like, Cornell Powell and Tylan Wallace, like, probably like Tylan Wallace a little bit more, but with the type of assets that we're dealing with, it's not particularly high hit rates. And if that sort of allows you to escape a guy like N'Keal Harry, who's got a pretty illiquid trade, valuation at this point, I think that's one, like, that's a sneaky, interesting way to do it, to kind of bury him in a deal to extract some value. So I like that one. And the 10th one here, Mac Jones, Darnell Mooney, and a future second for Aaron Rodgers and a future fourth. Give me the Rodgers side. I just, even if Rodgers retires, I don't know how significantly you get burned on this. And if he comes back, like, it's all upside. So, you know, I like Mac Jones for what he is, but that's, I don't think he's ever really a super duper difference maker. I think he's more of like a flippable asset type, question some of the upside type, questions there that we have. And I think that he's more of a flip guy. Hey, you're going to flip him for a future Hall of Famer, right? I mean, that's kind of what you're doing in this. And the only reason you're getting Rodgers is because it's at a discount. I think Rodgers is going to play. He's not going to retire. So in some way, shape, or form, he'll be a starter. And I think that's a pretty big upside situation. So, and honestly, at that, like, with those assets, like, those are risk worth taking type of assets. All right, looking at most traded guys, you know, biggest uptick in volume in the last 7 days. So top guys here, Laviska Shenault, Julio Jones, Michael Pittman. This is interesting. Keep an eye on that one. Josh Jacobs, Chase Claypool, Deontay Johnson, Jerry Jeudy, Myles Gaskin, Austin Eckler. I think that's interesting. Can see potentially getting in on that, you know, some of that movement. Odell Beckham Jr., Kenny Galladay, Henry Ruggs, Adam Thielen, T. Higgins, and Nick Chubb. So those are the guys that have been the most traded past 7 days, or biggest uptick in their trade volume in the last 7 days. And then over the last 14 days, Mike Davis is up there as well, with the rest of those guys, really. There's plenty of market movement on Jacobs. And just search here for the last, and this is all on Analytics of Dynasty, the most traded players button there in the Analytics of Dynasty trade finder. You know, Chase Edmonds up there over the past month, he's seen an uptake. Rager, Jeudy as well. So they've cooled off a little bit. Their peak volume, trading volume, was more weeks ago than it has been days ago. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, there's 10 dynasty trades for you to think about. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.